listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, before we get started, let me tell you about Continental Belts. If you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, I'm not talking about French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, stuff that makes you really wonder about folks. Well, another thing that you'll find are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE and millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. And Continental has launched their the aftermarket Multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So Continental OE technology series Multi-V belts. These are the belts with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, go to oetechnologyseries.com. That's oetechnologyseries.com.
Yeah, get it on, guys. Get on the treasure. Come in, Monday. Get it on. Welcome to Castrol CarCast. I'm Adam Kroll. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over
Hello.
There.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm invigorated.
Are you?
Yeah, the Porsche's coming together at the other shop. I'm feeling good about that. Doing a lot of caster and camber work.
Yeah.
Had the conversation with Sean where we got the driver's side and the passenger side, center hub to center hub, were approximately an inch and a half off. And now I think we're within a 16th or an eighth, with all the reworking of the mountings and all the configurations and everything. I had this one with Sean, which I always like. First, I'll tell you, this show brought to you by Castrol Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance, Geico.com, and JB Weld as well. I had this one with Sean. I have them with Maxipat every once in a while where I go, he goes, I got it within a eighth of an inch of one side to the other. And I was like, whoa, that's good. Cause we were like almost an inch and a half.
Yeah.
When we measured it, and he's like 15/16. And I go, oh, I thought we were like an inch and a half. And he goes, no, we were 15/16, but we got it down to like less than an eighth. And I'm like, well, that's good.
Yeah.
But it's kind of better if it's an inch and a half and it's down to that. And he goes, no, it was 15/16. I go, wait a minute. Look, I said to him, Sean, I don't have a good memory, but when I have numbers and I'm usually right. And I was like, when we measured that thing initially, it was an inch and a half off. And he's like, oh, yeah, when we measured it initially. And I was like, but then when we adjusted it, we got it down to 15/16. And I was like,
right.
I understood. Right. Understood. But what I'm... It was an inch and a half off, and now it's an eighth off. And that's good. It's a good thing.
We have some adjustability in the control arms and whatnot. So, where we are now gives us some room. Let's assume that when he put it together and he says he's off by, an eighth or whatever he's off that now, meant he first centered all the control arms, because they have some adjustability. They thread in and out. They have like rod ends on them. Let's assume he put them back to center. We have some room to go in and out if we need to.
He wants to make some new, tie rods or something. But anyway, it's fine.
It's fine. I walked by this morning. I saw the lathe going.
I'm very nervous because the last time we did this, we put a whole bunch of time and money and effort into everything, and it all... got it all adjusted, and then I went and got in the car, and it just went, pulled left.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it was doing? It wasn't pulling one way or the other. It's just if you tracked and you're going straight and it hit a little dip on the right, it would just start turning right, like hard.
Yeah.
And or left. Like it would just go that direction. I don't know. I have to talk to Hotchkiss and find out what that means, but hopefully we'll do it, but I'll definitely go out. We're not going to get any track time, but I'm definitely going to go up and down the street
Yeah. Well, we've got Lufkakult this weekend, and we're going to bring the car there. I don't think that's a secret anymore. It's at Universal Studios. That's not a secret anymore. But if it makes you feel any better.
Is that today?
Yeah. Well, there's a load-in today, and then tomorrow, Saturday, is the event.
Oh, okay.
And if it makes you feel any better, I've been following, if you guys follow Rod Emery, our friend Rod Emery, he's got the great 356s. He's been doing that Momo 356 for a while. And he's been posting to social media, and he's like, I'm getting the car ready for Luft. It we just saw left it, paint.
Yeah, we saw it down at Pebble Beach. Sorry for stepping on you. And it was like getting done, but not done.
It was
done.
Getting done. It just, it's out of paint now. It's just a body shell. And he's like, got to get the engine in. We got Luft in a few days. I'm like, you better get cracking.
I love it.
It's funny how the final assembly can actually go pretty quickly.
Once everything's been mocked up and in place and clean and everything.
You know, and he's just like, everything's been test fitted again and again and again. It should go together pretty quickly. But yeah, and I think they have like a preview event like tonight or something. So he's, you know, he when I saw his post, he had, I don't know, 3 days. 3 days to build the car.
I have, we got pics. I got them in my phone, Maxipad. I took some shots of the suspension and the laser and all the stuff that had been taken apart and cleaned and put back. And
yeah.
Sean actually sent me a picture of the bottom of the car, of the mount that he relocated and blah, blah, blah. So having a fabrication guy is a big, big deal. Sean hates me because I just saying is, how long? He goes like, oh, I'll take it back from Lufkakult. We'll replace the ball joints. How long does that take? You just tell me. But look, if it's going to take 3 hours, tell me three. If it's going to take 2 days, tell me two. But I'm asking how long. And he's always like, why do you want to know how long? Because every decision I make is based on how long.
Yeah.
Anyway, I talked to our friend over at... our friend back in Detroit, I won't mention his company yet and some other things, but I talked to him about his 300ZX for sale. And it's an interesting car, a lot of history, turbo car, blah, 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 Clayton Cunningham car, blah, blah, blah. And
it's the sister car to your Steve Millett car that we talk about all the time.
Yeah, that one. And it looks exactly the same. And it's so funny or so weird, but it's also it's a good thing and a bad thing, I guess, that like I was looking at the car and it's like it has the 17s on it, the 17 inch rims. And the reason that means something is Yokohama made 17 inch tires for that car specifically for racing, all different compounds and blah, blah, blah. Yokohama doesn't make that tire
anymore.
So if you see one of those cars, not that you're likely to, and it's rolling on 17s, it just means it's as is.
Yeah.
It's not.
Hasn't been out there in a while.
If you see Steve Millen's car that he has over at Stillen, it's rolling on 18s in good years, not 17s in Yokohamas. But anyway, this car's rolling on that, and it looks to be in good original condition, but... It's going to need a lot of freshening up before you get it up onto the track.
Right.
Including those BBS 18s and Goodyears and blah, blah,
when
blah.
When it's sitting on the old tires like that, you can assume like all the safety items have been expired and the fuel cells need to be replaced and anything with a date code on it or an expiration date, it's got to be done.
And seals and bladders and everything, like you said.
Shock rebuilds.
Yeah, there's no such thing as going, oh, we did the fuel cell, we did the hoses, we rebuilt the seals on the shocks, we did all that, but we left the old tires.
Right.
It doesn't exist. Yeah. So that's your, by the way, that's your indicator. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
And I got it. And I was like, car looks to be in good condition, but it smells like $100,000. To get that thing to the track and ready and fresh.
Remember when people used to buy houses for $100,000? And now we're like, shocks, a fuel cell, some seals, lines, maybe some tires. Just $100,000.
It's the funniest thing ever. So I called Bud over there at that shop on my way in today. And he's like, picked up the phone. Gave me the right answer, by the way. Picked up the phone. I was like, hey, Bud, to Santa Carolina. He goes, oh, hey. Oh, I'm at Roush. So... I may have to cut this off short. We're doing a meeting. Anyway, I said, that car, it's in good shape. Yeah, yeah, it's as is, but it's clean. It's this, that, and the other. And I said, so to get that thing freshened up, safe, everything changed, seals, blah, blah, blah. He said the engine probably need a little freshening up and blah, blah, blah. And I said, on the track, what is it? And he's like, 100 grand.
100 grand.
And I'm like, that's exactly what I said.
It's funny you could just throw around that number as like a freshening it up. It's like going to get a haircut. Like, I don't need a full haircut. I just need just a trim because I got a date.
Clean up my neck.
Yeah.
Just a little 100 grand. 100 grand. Yeah. I mean, that's literally what it is. Yeah. And it's also sad, but super... super good that I hear 100 grand and I go,
like, there's like a little bit of relief. You're like, yeah, it's 100 grand.
All right. Maybe it means buck 07. You got the 935 photos. We'll put them up on Adam Carolla. Where do we put on?
CarCastShow.com.
If you look closely, you can see there's a laser going across the brake count. The disc and the hub and everything and reflecting onto the body and the tub behind the thing and all that. But it's all been cleaned up.
Yep.
It's all been put back. He texted me a picture, Max Zapata, of the underneath of the car where they took the new mounting plate and put the existing mounting plate, I think, and removed it and redid it. But, You've got to be able to shape metal, otherwise you're not going to be able to.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that
on there.
Yeah. All right. Let me. We got Tim on the phone. Let me hit. You want to hit JB Weld? Okay.
Yeah. Do it.
All right. For big or small repair projects, you need something that lasts, and that's why we use JB Weld. Now, don't put that bracket on with JB Weld. You're going to need to physically weld that. But many of you aren't working on 935s. You're doing home improvement stuff, or you're at the shop. And that's where you go with JB Weld. You can get it at Home Depot and Lowe's and O'Reilly and AutoZone. JB Weld, man. All right. So, Tim McCarthy, he's the founder and CEO of Zyco. This stuff is... I got to tell you, man, if you are into performance and you're a do-it-yourselfer, this is what you do.
Yeah. You know, I talked to Tim on the phone the other day as well, and he's got some cool new stuff in the works. So let's chat him up. Let's hear a little bit about that.
Is he doing Zyco? I know I always ask this. It's in a rattle can now, right? Did they figure it out?
Right, but not the heat protection version. It's just more of a cosmetic version.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's got sort of like a really good high end, like engine paint, cosmetic paint, high temp paint, but it's not the heat dissipation qualities of like of the header coating.
Tim is on line four. Tim.
Yeah, Adam. How are you?
Good to speak to you. Say hi to Matt.
Hello.
Yeah, Matt. How are you doing? It's good to be back on the show.
Doing great. Good to have you.
So what's new with the Zyco?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot. We don't let too much dust settle on us here at Zyco. We have launched a new coating service, and we are going to be coating components for folks that, you know, just don't have the wherewithal, the tools, coating their own product. So
right.
We have launched a service that will do all of that for them, and real excited about it. We've been busy as one-armed paper hangers, since we launched this on May 1st.
So it's been pretty exciting. I have an intake manifold. I have an exhaust header. I have valve covers or something like that, and I just want them coated.
Yeah,
I send them to you. We pick out the color. You send them back.
It's all online, Adam. You go in, and depending on the engine size, whether it's a 4-cylinder up to 12-cylinder, you pick your components, you pick your color, you ship us the parts, and we ship them back to you within 15 days.
And what sort of prep do we need to do to send you these parts?
You need to box them up.
That's it.
That's it.
We've got an old set of, let's say, exhaust manifolds. Maybe they're a little rusty, they're a little crusty. You know what? That's it.
Matt, you just put them in a box. You know, secure them. You know, as you would shipping them anywhere else, and ship them to us. We do all of the inspection, the prep, the media blasting, the coating application. We do the post-coating inspection. We do the cure. We do a final cure inspection. We package them up, and we ship them back to you.
Wow. I love this because for a couple of reasons. One is, in the past, the worst people to deal with are the coding guys, like the chrome guy and the whatever guy. You'd be over there and you'd be at their mercy.
Yeah.
And they'd go, between 10 and 40 days. And then you'd go back at day 28 and you'd go, hey, have you done my bumper and bezel? And they'd go, who are you? And we'd go, I'm the guy who gave you a deposit. And they'd go, hold on, Hector! You recognize this dude? And then at some point they'd go, we worked on Sylvester Stallone's Biturbo.
Yeah.
That was a pretty hot car. You ever see one of those Lambos? Anyway, Hector. Oh, we're not. No, we haven't started yet.
Yeah. Also, are you sure you sent your deposit? Because we got to double check.
Come back in between 10 and 31 days.
Right.
And then you have no choice because you're like at their.
What are you going to do?
You're at their mercy.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do.
And this is just 15 days and back. But the other thing that's good about this is I am capable of applying this at my shop, but I want to farm things out. Like, I want to get stuff out, and I have my guys working on things that are at the shop.
Also, like, we have the sandblaster, but it's messy. It's messy. It's a hassle. It's a task. It's a task that's like the guy can be fabricating, like you're saying. Sean could be doing better use of his time stuff than this if we can get this in the mail and get it out there. Tim and I were talking the other day as well about you've been doing some testing with NHRA or one of the teams on the heat dissipation properties of this. What did you guys come up with when you went out there and did some NHRA testing?
Yeah, Matt, it's really exciting. We worked with a specific team, and they ran our coated headers at the Gator Nationals down in Gainesville. They ran those same coated headers in Las Vegas, and the durability and the temperature profiles that they experienced, I mean, within 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes of shutting down the block after a run, the headers were at 130 degrees, and they videotaped that. And the heat dissipation properties were proven in Top Fuel. So we saw a significant reduction in heat, even under that short duration that the Top Fuel headers are. I mean, they're maybe 24 inches long, right? But we're talking 10,000 horsepower and, you know, jet flame coming out of these headers. And the second issue the second experience was they've now run these headers on multiple runs. And in many cases, they were having to replace headers. You know, you ran a single run, and due to the incredible temperatures that these things were experiencing and the quick cool downs that we're experiencing, metal fatigue was causing the headers to either crack or fail, so they'd have to replace them. So with the coated headers, that we've now run multiple runs with the same coated headers, and we saw the same thing in diesel drags and diesel pulls. Not that may be a number of your listeners, but we've now proven this technology in Top Fuel, diesel drag, and alcohol and gas. So we've kind of covered the entire automotive spectrum, and we're real excited about the future.
Go over some stuff we've talked about in the past. The coating is in the header and on the header, right? Inside and out?
Inside and out, Adam. That's right. Yes.
The diesel, the most wondrous, like I think some people stare at the pyramids and they want to know how they were built or maybe the Golden Gate Bridge. To me, when I see the diesel tractor pull and I see the 5 blown Hemis on the front of that one and 2 of them, no, 4 of them are transverse. They're like facing right to left and one's facing forward. And I'm like, How do they get that into the rear wheels? How do they get all of those flywheels into the rear wheel? They're they're all facing the wrong direction. How do you get five engines into a rear into the pumpkin? It's insane to me. That I marvel at.
Yeah.
Also, how
your product's pretty good.
I have a short list of I call it how pissed is their wife.
Yeah.
At the diesel tractor puller guys.
Yeah.
The drag boat guys. And maybe the guys who do ice racing on motorcycles.
Well, there's a guy who's like, met my wife at the diesel tractor pulls.
Well, then she's a keeper. Tim. So the new deal is what city are you guys in?
We're in Kansas City, right in the center of the U.S.
Boy, that was a nice answer. And you just send your parts in, and you can figure out a price by how many cylinders, or how big, or how much it weighs. Like, how do we figure out the pricing?
It's a menu driven. It starts with your number of cylinders in your engine, and then you pick your components. It gives you your total price,
and
you know, credit card, enter, and they're off to the races.
I'm gonna get some stuff. I'm excited. I want to do some headers.
Yeah,
I want to do some stuff.
We can do turbo housings and stuff, but we got to take them apart and send just the pieces you need coating, and then they'll send them back if you need to do it that way.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's a good point, which is if you have a set of headers and they got some rust or some whatever on them, box them up and send it in. But if you have a turbo or things with components, take it apart and get it so it's just one part.
Right, because you know Tim and his guys, they're not responsible for like torque specs and things like that on reassembling pieces. So just send them the raw pieces, and they'll be able to coat them and turn them around.
I'm guessing the racing community is. It's probably going to be the industry standard in the next 10 minutes, right? Like, you're going to have all your stuff done this way.
I mean, on some level, not just the durability, you're talking about like top fuel headers and recycling, using them for multiple runs instead of one run at a time. There's also like a safety factor, right? If the headers cool down much quicker, they're a little bit easier. You're not burning a shin or a finger or potentially even fire, like fuel hitting those things, and you know maybe it seems like there's several benefits now.
So I'm guessing many of the teams are going to start employing this, right?
And I'll tell you, Adam, we're already working with a late model series team. We're working with a number of sprint car teams, and the late model series is now in its second season. With the same competition headers that we coated last summer.
What is
so?
Sorry for jumping in. Finish. Go ahead.
No problem. No. So I mean, the feedback we got from the JEGS late model team is they feel no heat coming through the footbox. I mean, these headers are 3/8 of an inch away from the metal footbox, and it was just conducting heat and melting their driving shoes.
Right.
They experienced no more heat. So we know that the underhood temperatures, we know that the performance improvements are happening just through the empirical data of, hey, I don't feel my feet melting when I'm you know, driving in the vehicle. So
what is F1? What's F1 currently use?
I have no idea.
F1, a number of them are using just stainless headers that aren't even coated, or they're ceramic coated.
Right, because it seems like if they're at the tip of the spear of all things technological, and everything for them is shaving millimeters and milliseconds and everything, I feel like F1's got to be next, right?
That's our next target. That's exactly right.
You got some calls to make, Tim.
And also, when you're when you're bragging at the cocktail party, the tractor pull is great.
Yeah, but F1 is,
if you want to pull down some real hot blonde poonanny, you got to start speaking F1 instead of tractor pulls. Tim, we're going to offer people a deal here. They can use promo code CARCAST and get 10% off the coating services. And you just go to the website, zycoat.com, and find out. Again, I love the 15-day part. I love the heat reduction. I love to send it in, box it in, send it in. We just go to Zycoat.com, Tim?
Go to Zycoat.com, click on coating-services, and just follow the menu prompts and send us your components, and we'll send them back coated with Zybar.
I love it. Thanks, Tim McCarthy. Appreciate it.
Adam, Matt, you guys have a great day.
Thank you. I love that guy because he's the real deal, and it's all
he loves his products. He loves his own products. I like that he's nerdy about his own products.
Well, because he's not selling like paper umbrellas for you know exotic drinks.
Yeah,
like,
it's
he's
good
selling.
Stuff.
It's a world where everybody at the top, whether it's drag racing, F1, or tractor pulling, or whatever it is, like everyone at the top's all there's nothing they have that the next team doesn't have until now.
Yeah.
And it's all ways of just incrementally getting an advantage. You're never going to get, it's a scale, and there's no more putting a pound of sand on your side. You get a couple of hairs. But that couple of hairs of weight might just be enough. All right. Do your thing.
I'm going to sell you more stuff. Castrol. Sell you some Castrol Edge. Castrol is stronger under pressure. You know, engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction, but not with Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep metal apart and fight power-robbing friction to unlock exhilarating performance. It's three times stronger.
Three times, fool.
Three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown per the Kurt Orban test in a 5W30 VIS grade. Edge performance always exceeds the toughest industry standards, but the new and improved formula incorporates the latest technology that makes it transform to be the strongest when pressure is highest. Check it out, Castrol Edge.
All right. You got some news on the Porsche 917 concept?
Yeah, so there was some news that popped up. There was that and the Lamborghini I got to tell you about. It's kind of interesting. But Porsche has been talking about for a while now about a 918 successor, and I think somebody interviewed the boss over there.
Is that a 917?
And yeah, so they did a 917 concept. I want to see a few years ago. Maybe
you said 918 at the beginning. I didn't know.
Right, so 918 is the supercar that they had recently.
Right, okay.
And they want to do a successor to that.
I'm sorry, yes.
And they're saying it could be based off of this 917 concept that they brought back, that they introduced a few years ago. So, which is interesting is they teased this 917 concept, I want to say, in like 2014. And then Porsche has re-released more photos of it, more details going, hey, man, we're thinking about a 918 successor, and we kind of like this concept that we did a few years ago of a 917.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very likely that whatever happens with a future supercar with Porsche, it'll be either electric or electric hybrid, you know, a la 918 and F1 or a P1 McLaren and even NSX.
Let me say this. There is a fundamental problem to any company bringing back one of its heritage cars from the late 60s, early 70s, or mid 70s, or whenever it is. There is a fundamental problem that cannot be sidestepped. And it's like, it's an issue. And it's a first world problem, but it's a fundamental problem, which is so much of the aesthetic of that 917 was the super deep dish rim.
Yeah.
The notion of the front on that car had, on a 917, the front had, 3 inches of dish. I mean, I don't think it was a lot. The rear had like 10 inches. Like it was just a barrel, right? And it was a 15. So it had like the 60 series tire kind of bulging out around it. And it was such a great aesthetic. And the problem is, it's sort of like saying, oh, man, that old Gina Lola Brigida, man, she had a D cup and then go down to this narrow waist and then this round ass. And you'd go like, yeah, we can't do that anymore. And it's like, but this new chick is hot. And you'd go, yeah, but it's kind of a straight line from her B cup down to her no hips. And it's like, yeah, but look at her dress. Like, isn't she beautiful? Look at her eyes.
Yeah.
Did you look at her nose? Look at her lips. And it's like, yeah, that's perfect. It's good. but I still miss that kind of shape.
Yeah.
And that shape is gone because the brakes are all the way out.
You got to widen the track as much as you can. And when they do a big, I don't know, carbon ceramic brake.
And there is no dish. No. I mean, there's, you know, there's a little lip or whatever you want to call it, but there is no dish. And the early 917s and the 935s and everything had that massive dish.
Oh, yeah. You can stick your head in there. You can hide in there.
I'm trying to think, if you find us a good picture of a 917 front and rear, I feel like the front had a few inches, not a ton, and then you'd go boom in the back, and it was such a great look.
Yeah.
Every kid that ever drew a hot rod drew it that way, right?
Which is an interesting point, because Porsche's point with making another supercar like this is saying that they can sort of start with a clean sheet of paper. They don't have to keep evolving the 911. Like, you can't do, hey, we're going to do a 911 GT whatever, whatever, and then make it completely look different, like the 918 or something. So it's the idea of them doing a supercar is for them saying, we can go outside the box, we can be more creative. But you're right, if you're going to do a legacy car, if you will, or pay homage to a 917 with a new supercar, there should be, you know, it's not like, hey, we're going to release the Mustang, we're going to put fog lights in the grill and the three taillight deal,
right?
And that's our heritage. I'm like, there's a little more to it. Could be a little bit more to it.
I would appreciate that. I'm looking at a different.
Yeah.
I think you might even be able to do better than this. Okay. Next pattern.
A little more side view.
Yeah, I'm going to say. It gets a little bit, we can see how deep it is. It's narrow in the front and it's deep in the back. But also, you may want to just find the Gulf liveried one, since that's the one everyone kind of thinks about. Also, you got some hot Miura talk.
Yeah, so what's interesting is, that in-house division over at Lamborghini that is restoring cars, it seems like once a year, or maybe isn't even once a year, once every other year, that they do an in-house car. Well, they went and they tracked down the Lamborghini that was in the intro scenes of The Italian Job, the original movie.
The original Italian movie. Right. And that was a P, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe an S.
It was a P. Yeah, it was a P400 and was chassis 3586. And then I think at the end of the bit, it goes over the edge. And they said specifically, like, they said, we had another already wrecked or damaged Miura that they threw over the edge. And this is not that one. This is the one that didn't go over the edge, that the lead actor and the stunt driver drove, which is a great scene. It's like this great epic driving scene. Mm-hmm. And I remember it, if I recall correctly, it's like, it's pretty long, right? It's like, I don't know, 2 minutes or something of just Miura driving.
And Nate said it'd be better if they had generic rock guitar over the entire scene. He didn't like the sound of the music, the sound of the engine poking through.
Yeah. Well, they restored this car, and I guess they're going to be touring it. I imagine we're going to see it at Monterey.
It's
Oh, this guy's smoking a cigarette. Like,
he's driving
it. Rolled up.
It looks to be red with gold rockers, but it's kind of hard to.
I think it's hard
to
orange. See. I think it's more.
Oh,
of an
it's orange.
Yeah,
yeah, it looks orange. Kind of hard to tell with the way the light's hitting it. Anyway.
There's always been that thing, like with Ferrari red is really orange, and then when it's on camera, it looks more red. I think
that'll be at Pebble Beach.
I'm guessing it will be, because they got to be showing this thing around, right?
Oh, they just rolled it.
Yeah, just roll it downhill.
Yeah, hurts my teeth.
I love they're like, oh, we had another mirror that was already damaged. We just threw it off the mountain, as opposed to, hey, let's do a fiberglass kit car with nothing in it. You know, just roll it down a hill. They're like, nah, Miura, over the edge.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know if that movie's any good. I know it gets talked about a lot. The remake was kind of fun.
Yeah.
They went the Mini Coopers. Was kind of fun. The beginning scene was kind of fun. Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
World's greatest safe cracker.
Yeah, she is.
She's raising her adopted son as a woman now.
Oh, awesome. Is that true?
Oh, she is. She
of
is
course.
So
And then
woke.
Then there's a statement where she's like, I don't know why nobody asks me out. I'm very approachable. Just ask me out on a date. I was like, okay, maybe
she does my least favorite celebrity move, which is they make a proclamation, like she adopted two young black kids.
Yeah.
And then she does the interview. She explains how racist this country is, and then explains there are cities in this country she would not take her sons because she fears for their danger. And okay. I have cities in this country I wouldn't take a walk with my son, but they're mostly black communities. It's not whitey that's gunning for your son.
Okay.
Statistically, if you got a young black son, much greater opportunity of him being shot by a young black man than by a young white man. That's the statistics of
right.
it. But anyway, Charlize, you should tell us the name of these cities
yeah.
so we don't go there, because I would not like to
sure.
patronize these cities. I don't want to go there and give them my tax dollars or whatever. So, Charlize, tell us the cities, and then we'll avoid those cities.
Yeah.
But guess who never gives you the name of the city?
Yep.
Whoever's saying
whoever
cities.
Yeah.
By the way, why
would
you
think she's listening to this show?
Why would you say they're cities I won't take my son, and then not have the interviewer go, what city?
Yeah.
Seems like a good follow-up question. And also, we would know, and then maybe we could put some resources toward those cities.
What's the hesitation there? You think she's like, now this city's going to sue me for shitting on their city?
No. She can't make her fucking point. That's the hesitation. If she gave the city, then we would go, all right, many homicides were there at that city, or how many hate crimes were there at that city? And it wouldn't work. It wouldn't pencil out for her.
It wouldn't be able to back
it up. Max Apata knows from being around me long enough. If Dennis Prager makes a proclamation, he tells you all the cities.
Yeah.
If Charlize Theron makes a proclamation, she walks away.
Yeah.
Nose held high. She doesn't name cities because that can be vetted.
Yes.
They can't back it up.
They can't back it up. They can't back anything up. They just talk about the suffering.
Yeah.
All the suffering. Imagine being Charlize Theron's child. How brutal that would be. Having to run serpentine to the mailbox every day. Hearing shotguns pumping. Kids floating on a raft somewhere in a pool, like an Infinity Edge pool right now. Right now. All right.
Rolling in his golf cart to go get the mail.
Let me hit JB Weld. When you're ready for a repair job at the home or at the garage, ordinary household glue. Well, it's got the word ordinary in it. We don't need that. When strength really matters, we need some JB Weld. The leader in epoxy adhesive for metal, wood, plastic, and more. Don't glue it. JB Weld it. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, your kitchen drawer, craft room, or just, I get one for all of them, man. Have some extra around the house. JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. The brands, both pros and DIYers, have trusted for more than 50 years. We use it here for everything. We use it at the shop. I've always used JB Weld.
Everything. They got like, I don't know, dozens of products now.
I know. It used to just be the metal repair. Now it's everything. JB Weld, world's strongest bond available. JBWeld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, and more. So you're driving around the PHEV Range Rover?
I got a Range Rover Sport plug-in hybrid. And I've got a lot to say about this thing, but I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to sum it up as this is, it's beautiful. The interior is fantastic. There's three LCD screens. It's your, in front of you, your gauges is a big LCD screen. Then there's one for your entertainment system. Then there's one for like all of the functions for the vehicle, the climate control and off-road capability. And I just don't know why, but for the life of me, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's a great driving vehicle, and it's beautiful, and the interior is fantastic, and it's why you buy a Range Rover. But this thing is brand new, and I've constantly plugged in a phone and try to make calls, and even the CarPlay, Apple CarPlay, and it's just, I just can't get anything to work. It just, and it's slow, and it can't shift between one button and the next button. You hit a button, and I just don't know why. Look, it used to be, everybody had to make their own stuff. They got to make their own brakes, got to make their own infotainment system. And then we started saying, hey, a car with Brembo brakes is cool. That's attractive. And then Ford was like, oh, we use Microsoft Sync. We use the Ford Microsoft Sync system. And that's attractive because they're like, oh, it's a good partnership with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Range Rover does that as well, but it's more of a utility sync. It's not a, like sink yeah. up. It's an old time farmer sink on a mud porch.
Yeah,
like,
it's that.
I got the same thing with the Jag, which is like they and I like both companies, but their sale is made when the wife opens the door and sits in the car and goes, yeah. "I love it."
Oh, it's
look
gorgeous.
At the piping. You know, look at the leather. It's so nicely done, and it looks great from the outside, and it looks great from the inside. And as far as the part where you're backing out of the parking space at the gym and you put it in reverse and the screen doesn't go on the reverse camera for 5 Mississippi, you'll never notice that at the dealership.
Yeah.
What you notice is the interior and the stitching and the exterior and whatever numbers you're talking about. But that the little weird sort of idiosyncratic things, it's sort of like saying – I'm gonna explain to you with this metaphor why I get the big bucks. Are you listening, Max Zapata?
I've never stopped.
When you buy a TV set, you go in and you like look at the set, and they put on some picture of Laird Hamilton surfing a big wave at the pipeline, and you go, "Oh, that Sony looks awesome."
Yeah.
How big is it? 88 inch. Okay, there's a 90 inch Panasonic over, and you look at that one. You never look at the remote.
Yeah.
When you get home, you got to deal with that remote, and you're like, "Oh, the on off button should be at the top left, and it's at the bottom, or whatever. The toggles in the middle." You learn to hate the remote,
yeah,
because you never really get that into it. You never go,
right.
"Give me the remote, let me work it, let me see where my thumb lands. I'm left handed." None of that. That's the same thing with
you're
those cars.
You're just mesmerized by the picture.
Yeah, you never want to see the remote. And the electronics of the car, the backup cameras, the sync system, the phone, the Bluetooth, all that's the remote. And you never get to that part at the dealer.
Yeah. Yeah. When you guys test drive cars, bring your cell phone, plug it in, make a few calls. That's what I'm saying.
Listen to a couple podcasts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, spend a minute in there, you know, call some friends, text moms. You know,
yeah, like
speech to text, you get a little bit of
power up a podcast, make a few phone calls, send a text and an email, like see what happens.
And do it all while you're driving.
Right.
Even if you don't leave the lot, just do it while you're backing up and see what happens. You know, and then, you know, get somebody to text you on Apple CarPlay in the middle of a phone call and see if the car stops in the middle of the road because it's a little funky. But what I'm saying is why not just outsource this stuff now and have pride in the partnership? I'm going to get Apple or Google to do all my electronics. I think they'd sell 15% more vehicles.
They already do it with the speakers, right?
Yeah, right? Like Meridian and Bose and everything. It's like, why not do that? I just think they'd sell more if you just said, hey, from now on, our entire infotainment system and AC control and everything is all done by Apple.
Well, the long and the short of it is the European stuff and the German stuff, and I guess Germany's in Europe, but... the English stuff and the European stuff. Or is that in Europe too? Anyway, that stuff, it used to be, well, they kick ass in the fit, in the finish, the materials and all that. They do the great materials.
Yeah.
And then if you want a Japanese car, you're going to get all the great electronics, but you're going to be sitting on Naugahyde or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the reality is the Japanese, the Infiniti and the Lexi and all that kind of stuff, they've upped their game so much in the materials department, in the luxury department, everything, that it's almost just worth it to go, I'm going Japanese just so I can get all the electronics working. And I'm sitting on nice leather anyway.
Yeah. It's you're right, though. When you open the door to that Range Rover, you're mesmerized by the picture.
And I got my Infiniti. What did you get me?
It's a QX60 SUV.
Look, I don't like to talk about myself, but it's got diamond stitching everywhere.
The limited version.
And Lynette got into it last night, and she just opened the door, and she's like, "Oh my God, this diamond looks so good."
Yeah.
Because it's cream with diamond stitching. And I said, "Yes, it does look good." I've been saying this for years. You don't have to believe me. I took a Lamborghini 400 2+2 to an auto upholstery place 12 years ago. And I said, redo it in red, and when you do all the material that goes where the package tray is in the back window and around the transmission fluid, sorry, tunnel. Transmission tunnel, and the humps around the wheel arches in the back, do it all in diamond.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's not how it originally came. And I said, do it. And it looked killer.
Yeah.
And I would yell at Matt every 10 seconds, why don't they do it in diamond? It's so good.
Yeah.
Everyone is doing diamond now. Everyone! What? I don't mind the part where I know everything. I mind the part where people question me constantly. Constantly. We sold that car. We sold it for a premium.
Yeah.
It, a lot to do. If you find a picture, it's probably somewhere. I don't know. Blue, mirror. Blue, sorry. 2+2.
Yeah, probably look up your name. Probably look up like Adam Carolla Lamborghini 400 GT for sale. And I'm sure it's up there. And
it was I went sick with the diamond. It was not a standard look. I mean, it's not an original look.
Yeah. But that blue Note with the red leather, and then you peek your head in, and that's it. That's what we sold that guy. Who knows if that car started or not?
All these guys are doing
He's like,
all
I don't
the
care.
All the Japanese are doing diamonds. Everyone's doing diamonds now. But who was yapping about it 15 years ago?
You, buddy.
And I was going, why aren't the manufacturer? Why don't they do it? Like, yeah. they're getting a sewing pattern out. Do the diamonds.
Yeah. Now you can go into, like, you go into, like, the Ferrari showrooms and the Lamborghini showrooms, and they've got it used to be, here's the leather swatches, but now here's the seats. Like, here's the patterns you can get.
Mm.
You know, you can get the diamond stitch or whatever, vertical stitching and Daytona stitching. And now it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a big selling point.
Yeah.
Right, he's going to look that up. I'm going to tell you guys about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. And now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Be sure to check out geico.com.
All right. So what about Luft? Oh, is Luftka Cult? Is that what I call it? Luftka Cult? Luft Cult?
Luft.
Luft. Like Lufthansa, like air.
Yeah.
Luft Cult. Is that sold out?
Sold out. Sold out very quickly. So.
Do we know how many tickets they sell?
I don't know. And it's a limitation of the venue because it's at Universal Studios back lot.
But that's got to be 5,000. I mean, or 3,000.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a big outdoor area, right?
Yeah. And it's still like you're also going onto a studio lot, so it's kind of a, you know, the load in, the load out's like designated times, and the guy, you know, you need the drive on pass, and it's.
Should I bring Sonny?
Sure,
bring Sonny. Sonny's going to be like, we'll be walking around the back lot, and I'll go, look at that 935. Paul Newman drove, and he'll go, oh, that's the shark from Jaws, and then he'll walk that direction.
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. It's
good. And then I'll point up the hill and I'll go, there's the psycho house. And Sonny will go, oh, yeah, I got a question for mom. And I'll start walking toward the psycho house. I go, no, that was a movie.
Yeah.
He's not going to know what I'm talking
He's
about.
Not going to know.
He's going to get confused. All right. Where is, we must have taken, so here's the thing, Max, about it. Took pictures.
I have all. Did you photograph it?
You
not
could
this
have.
One.
Who?
I think you sold this one before I started taking photographs of your cars.
Maybe that's why it's sold, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay.
You didn't have the curse. The pox of the pax. Or mox. Or max.
Pox of the locks.
The pox of the locks.
It's been a number of years, and I don't know how public we went with that one. So.
Well, we have the pictures
have
in
pictures.
Our computer
yeah,
somewhere,
yeah,
right?
I've got a folder somewhere. I've got a Dropbox folder or something like that, but
all right, Max.
Yeah,
Bad,
I'll get them up.
You look for that.
I'm
going to
repost them. Yeah, I'll post them up on my social media to remind everybody.
Everyone, look at that diamond stitch.
Yeah,
not original. Not original, Max Bada. Also, I wanted to post up. I got a disc that has the BRE. I think it was 2011 BRE. Rolex Historics race. It has all that great footage from the outside, and we never posted that. We don't have that anywhere, right? It's on a. I have it on a disc. We never burnt it onto a drive or done any of that.
Right.
I think Dylan went over there and gathered some stuff up. So put that on your big fat list of things to do.
All right. Adding post it right that now.
As well.
Let's do it.
All right. What are you going to add?
Post that Rolex DVD that Dylan had.
BRE. Yeah. Roadster, baby. We had a... It's this weirdest thing in the world, but we've done in-car cameras a lot, and yeah. they fail a lot.
Yeah.
that one is funny because that one worked over my shoulder in that Roadster. Looked yeah. great. It worked for the first five laps or four and a half laps of nothingness, and the second I caught up to the three... Alfa Romeos and started the exciting part, it just went away.
Went away.
Yeah. So the best part is like me dicing it up and passing these guys and them in front of me and behind
me
and everything.
Did it turn off or fall off or did it just start pointing at your feet?
No, it just started to battery down. Like it just started to get dark. Yeah. As I got closer, like the last in-car camera you see is me catching up to the Alphas and then it just went out. And it was the most exciting part of the race, and it just like right when I got up to the third car. There, yeah. there you go. All right. Let's see. Not Taco Bell material. Check that out. Chassis, two S's and a Y. Amazon, iTunes, all that. It's a very funny stand-up special, and I hope you guys spend $5 and rent it and check it out. Brea Improv next Friday and Saturday, or even this Friday, but not this Saturday. Trying right. to think how to work it. Anyway, 17th and 18th, unprepared. I'll be doing stand-up there. Adam Ray is going to be opening for me. It's going to be fun. Denver coming up. Portland coming up. Monterey. Yeah. Monterey coming up August 17th. Go to amcarolla.com for all you need. And check out Shift and Steer, available on iTunes and Podcast One as well. Adam Carolla Goes Racing. New season, exclusively on Vero.
Get good stuff.
You get go to the website get.vero.co/ace and watch us racing the Newman GT1 car, Monterey. So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.